Morning. Opening your Bibles to 1 Samuel 22. We're going to begin there in just a minute. 1 Samuel 22. There's a lot of people in Scripture that if I were to name by name, like David or Abraham, Joshua, you know, some of those characters, just by hearing their names, you know a lot about them. And that is because Scripture tells us a lot about many of the characters. We know a lot about their lives, their families, their occupations, things that they went through in this life. We just know a lot about these people. And then there are plenty of others that we only have their names. And if you worship here on a regular basis, you know how I love to read all those names, right? Most of those names that are in the, especially in the lists of names, we don't really know a whole lot about any of those people. And then there are certain characters or certain names that we are given a very tiny little glimpse, like just a few verses, right? This morning I want to share with you someone that probably isn't well known. Matter of fact, if I just said the name alone, and we'll say it just a moment, you're probably going to draw a blank. It's okay, I did too, but for some of you who are more seasoned, when you hear the story reference, if you haven't already figured it out from the title, you're probably, okay, I remember the story at least, right? This particular person only has two verses, specifically by name at least, only two verses about them. And so you're thinking, well, if there's only two verses, we're going to be out of here quick. But I know how disappointed you would be. And so I'm going to do you a favor and talk longer than a few moments. The man is by the name of Shammah. I don't know if you recognize that name or not. Not Shamgar. That guy also has two verses, but different guy. He was a judge. This guy's name is Shammah. He was one of a few men named Shammah in Scripture. Actually, if you didn't know this, David actually had a brother named Shammah. Shammah, the son of Jesse. This is not that guy. This is a different Shammah. But again, we're going to talk about him and his connection with David, and more importantly, some things that you and I can learn today, and hopefully will be important to us, help us have a sense of urgency in whatever it is we're going through in this life, and increase our faith as well. Let's bow in prayer, and we'll talk about Shammah together. Our God and our Father, we come to you this morning as we continue our worship, and as our brother prayed just a moment ago, and our other brother led us in song about, Father, we're so mindful that you as God process time differently than we do. And we know that all things happen according to your will and according to your time. And as our brother prayed, even those in our sense of time and we feel like we have a grasp on what is happening and where paths are leading, Father, we never can fully understand the things that are working at your will, at your disposal. And we just pray for faith and trust in you. To allow things to happen according to your will and according to your time. And you have given us so many great examples of faith in Scripture. Some we know a lot about and some we don't know a whole lot about. But you saw it fit according to your will to provide a glimpse into these people's lives, just a few details, because there is so much we can learn from these men and women of faith. And as this morning, as we study one of these individuals, someone who is connected to King David, we pray that we will understand the growth that he had, as well as others, and the faith that he had, the trust that he had, not only in his friend David, but more importantly in you. And that when we make ourselves available to you, Father, you can work great things through us. Whatever it is for each of us individually, as we self-examine ourselves, what we personally need to be dealing with and addressing, first and foremost, we pray for the strength and the faith to do that. By your hand and by your will, and as we give ourselves to you, Father, we pray that you would work great things through us. Help us draw closer to you, closer to one another, and bring others to your gospel and to your sons. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I want you to start in 1 Samuel 22. If you want to go ahead and mark your Bibles in 2 Samuel 23, 2 Samuel 23, that's actually where the two verses are about this man named Shammah. But before I want to read about him specifically, I want to give you an understanding and a little bit of a history lesson on where he came from. Shammah is one of the mighty men of David. There was quite a big number. We only know some specific details about a few of them. But for me, it's important to kind of back up first, because if I said, hey, this was this mighty man of David, and then you hear what he does, it's amazing, it's incredible, and you're thinking, well, yeah, this was just yet another some superhuman, supernatural guy that God just gave all these abilities, and he was just always great. And that's not the case at all, especially with these mighty men. So I want to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22. This man named Shammah, he was part of a group that started out as distressed, indebted, bitter in soul, and hiding in a cave. If you're in 1 Samuel 22, you remember that previous to this, King Saul has been actually for a little while and continues to despise David. David has been anointed king officially, but he's not reigning as king yet. And he's not reigning as king because Saul's still there and Saul's trying to kill David. And you remember he flees to Gath, and then there was that whole incident where David kind of acts out of his mind in front of the king, and after he flees from there, there's a pretty famous cave that David would actually visit quite often because it was a very strategic, defensive place called the Cave of Adullam, right? And so in 1 Samuel 22, listen to verse 1 through 2, David departed from there and he escaped to the Cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they all went down to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Right? Things in the kingdom at this time are not going well. King Saul is... he was the chosen king, but he's botching this entire kingship thing. He's seeking himself. He's more focused on David than he is the whole kingdom. You know that whole story. And so even in the economy, even in the nation, things aren't going too well. And there was a lot of people who were in distress over that, or maybe they just found themselves in debt. They're not happy with the way things are going. And so when they hear that David is hiding out, they kind of relate, I guess. But they decide, you know what, I'm just going to leave all this nonsense behind, and I'm going to go find King David. They find him at the Cave of Adullam, and we're just going to go attach ourselves to him. And so David, that's kind of the beginnings of David's kind of larger following, right? Has 400 men at least at this moment. And they stay with him in the stronghold. Later on in the story, he takes his parents to another king and says, listen, you protect my parents. Can you protect them for a while I go fight these battles? And so he does. So Shammah, the mighty men of David originate from this group of men. Okay? This is a group of men who knew what it was to be afraid. So they're all together now and they're with King David. We're in the next chapter over. And they've committed themselves to him. He's now commander over them. And so now David hears of the Philistines fighting. Listen to what it says in 23. Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floor. So it's typical of the Philistines. So David inquires of the Lord. This is what he asks God. Shall I go and attack these Philistines? The Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And so David inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. And so David and his men, they went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away all their livestock, struck them with a great blow, and so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Does that sound like a big group of really mighty, valiant warriors who are just they're just ready to go fight and save the day? No. They start off hiding in a cave, and now when they hear of their countrymen being raided by the Philistines, killed by the Philistines, David goes and asks God, and God says, yes. And no doubt David said, hey guys, I asked the Lord, and he says, go fight. And they're like, what are you talking about, go fight? I'm scared sitting right here. Much less you want me to leave where we're at now because we're on the run and they had prices on their heads. You want to go openly, like on the offense, to a place against the Philistines, and you want us to go fight and save our kinfolk? They didn't want to do it. But God answered a second time and David said, no, you're going to do it. So they went and did it. But later on, now we're going to 2 Samuel chapter 10, through time, this same group of men grew to be a group who were willing to trust in the Lord and trust in David, and they faithfully served David as king. This is that moment when one of the kings of the Ammonites dies, and this particular king of the Ammonites, him and David had a good thing going, right? And so when he dies, David really genuinely sends some comforters, as was customary, and his son who took over king of the Ammonites, David sent, he said, listen, I dealt well with your father, I'll deal well with you. Well, that king had a friend who told his king that no, David really sent those comforters because they were just spying out the situation, right? And so that king believes him, and he says, okay, we're going to go fight David, but we're also going to go hire a whole bunch of mercenaries by the name of the Syrians, verse 5 and 6, right? And so we're going to go to battle against them. So in verse 6, when the Ammonites saw that they had become a stench to David, the Ammonites sent, hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobath, 20,000 foot soldiers, the king of Makkah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of his mighty men. The Ammonites came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and Rehob and the men of Tob and Makkah, they were by themselves all in the open country. And so when Joab saw that the battle was set against them, both in the front and in the rear, he chose some of the best men of Israel and arrayed them against the Syrians. And then the rest of his men he put in charge of Abishai, his brother, and he arrayed them against the Ammonites. And he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you will come and help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him. It's an awesome picture. He takes all of Joab, one of the mighty men, takes all of David's mighty men, and because the Syrians were kind of the more professional fighters, the mercenaries, he says, listen, I'll take most of the mighty men, and we'll go take the harder group. The rest of y'all go face them, and we're gonna be kind of back to back. And we're all gonna be fighting, but if we kind of start losing ground, y'all kind of back off your front and come help us, and vice versa, and we'll just keep doing this whole thing back and forth until we win. But he also has that phrase at the end, let the Lord do what seems good to him. They don't necessarily know how this is going to work out, but they have grown into this group of men who have not only become warriors, but they're of that mindset. Go back to the cave, right? We're in distress, we're bitter in soul, we're indebted, we're just despondent. Years later, we've grown into this group of men who faithfully are serving King David, not only faithfully fighting for him, but they walked with him even in the toughest of times. You remember in 2 Samuel chapter 16 when Absalom, it's kind of the tail end of the Absalom story, he had done all he had done, and he's trying to overthrow David, and David is on the run. David flees Jerusalem because Absalom is trying to take over. And in chapter 16, there's that moment when David is actually walking by, verse 5, that man comes out of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and the son of Gera, and he came and he cursed continually at David. He throws stones at David, at all the servants of King David, and all the people, listen, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei, of course, says, as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. No. They kind of, later on in that story, that I'm pretty sure probably all the mighty men, at least a couple of them, say, can I just go kill this guy real quick? It'd be a lot quieter. That wouldn't be as dusty, right? None of his rocks. I just want you to see and appreciate that David is in one of the lowest points of his life. And he has just been run out of town by his son, who is trying to overthrow the entire kingdom slash country. And these men, because they're just, you know, you see those movies kind of that are pacing that time, and there's that royal guard, and there's always a thing like that. No, whoever's on the throne, that's who we protect. That's not them. They're loyal to David, even to the point, if you have to flee because of Absalom, we're going to be right by your side. We've been with you in the highest of moments. We're going to stick with you in the lowest of moments. Right? Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 through 12. You see, if we just would have started with this and I said, hey, there's this guy named Shammah, he's a mighty man of God. David is kind of listing at least kind of the top three or four because they're going to be in the story after this. Verse 11 of chapter 23. Next to these other two was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lee where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the men fled from the Philistines, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot. He defended it, struck down the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory. Now see, if I would have just read those two verses, again, the sermon would have been over in a couple minutes, right? It's important for you to understand where this man came from. Because here's this moment. We don't even know a whole lot about this reference, right? But what we do know is that this mighty man of David slash mighty man of God, there comes this moment that he decides here and now is where I take my stand and I take it by myself. He's against all the Philistines who have gathered. He's seen war before. The second point, I go ahead and put it on there. He's standing his ground even though everyone around him is fleeing. And by everyone else, I have to assume that there's other people who have been in battle before. There's other people who have been in war before. There's other people who have fought beside him before. But in that moment, their brain said, it's time to turn around and run. Shammah said, no, I'm going to make my stand and I'm going to make it right here and I'm done running. If he was ever really running to begin with. But he meets those Philistines and he says, today is the day I'm going to take a stand. He's going to take a stand in the middle of the plot. There was this plot of ground full of beans, lentils. Probably acre peas, white acre peas to be exact. That's where he's going to stand. He's going to stand right here. I'm not going to go to the back. I'm just going to stand right here in the middle of it and you're not going to move me. This is what's important today and I'm going to make my stand. He defended it against all the Philistines. I don't know why he defended it. I don't know if it was because of the beans. I don't know if it was the location of the field. I don't know. He just defended it. Maybe it was just about defending the Philistines. I'm not going to let you drive any of us back any further than you already have. I'm going to make my stand. What I want you to understand is that in essence, what Shammah decided to do was, even though everyone else is running and they're chasing, I'm going to make my stand and I'm just going to make myself available to God. It's kind of like back in the chapter 10 when Joab says, let the Lord do what he wants to do. Shammah says, in order for the Lord to be able to do what he wants to do, I have to make myself available to him. In other words, it could very well be I'm going to make my stand in the middle of this plot, and I'm going to die in the first 5 seconds. I might kill 50 men and then perish. I may overtake them all. I don't know. I'm going to let the Lord do what he wants to do. And as a result, the Lord worked a great victory. I love that. And actually, and all these descriptions of the mighty men, they do some really amazing things. That it's one thing to read, but when you actually think about the physical endurance, stamina, just think what it took to actually accomplish some of this stuff. At the end of all these stories, it still says, the Lord gave the victory. It's about the mighty men, but it's about the mighty men because they put their trust in God and God worked a lot of great things through them. Shammah says, I'm going to make myself available to God. And because of that, God worked a great victory. He goes down in the record book. There was a lot more than three mighty men, but he made the podium, folks, right? Because of his faith in God and because he defended this plot of beans. It's one thing to say, Shammah, okay, you're just, even the two guys before him, what they did. And actually, in the last part of the chapter, go on your own time, read that, what they go and do for David. It's amazing stuff. And you're thinking, if you just read that, this is a pretty awesome men. But they started out as guys hiding in a cave. Who even at times when God says, I want you to go save these people from the Philistines, they're like, I'm too scared to do that. Well, I can't do that. So they grew to not only learn how to fight for the Lord, but they even learned what true service and what true loyalty was all about. Here's the question for you this morning. What is your field of beans? I don't know if this was really about the field of beans or if it was just a reference to the location where the battle took place. Maybe they always had beans there, and people who were earlier in, you know, time, oh yeah, I know that area. I don't know if it was specific to the location. I don't know if it was strategic. I don't know. Maybe it was about resources. Maybe it was about food. I don't know. On this day, he took a stand. What's your field of beans? And I'm not talking about your garden. Right now, in your life, for every one of us personally, we can reflect and say, okay, I can't be everywhere at once. There's a lot of things that demand for my attention. There's a lot of things going on in my life. Just a whole bunch of different fronts. Right? And when you think about all those coming at once, sometimes we feel that we're just being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Which one of those is the one that today you need to say, today that's my field of beans and I'm not moving again? This is the front right now in my life that I need to make a stand and face it. Maybe that is a struggle with sin. We talked Wednesday night about Micah and how God's people often get a little bit too arrogant and haughty. And because we're Christians and because we're God's people, too often we think, oh, it's okay, because God's grace and His love, I can be a Christian, and because I am a Christian, I can still kind of just dabble in sin and kind of live over here, and God's not really going to destroy me. Micah says, if that's the way you're thinking, you got it wrong. If you have sin in your life that you've not dealt with, God has an indictment against you, and he would go on to say, it is a wise thing to fear your Lord. Maybe this morning it's a struggle with sin. Maybe it's your mind. Scripture talks a lot about protecting the mind, which leads to the heart, right? Protecting your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. What we fill our minds with, our emotions, the way we're thinking, what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's Bible study. Maybe it's the cultural influences in my home, because there are so many different ways that the cultural influences come in through our, well, either through our experiences outside of the home or through the TV sets or through the tablets or the phone, whatever. I need to make a stand about that. Maybe it's in service to others. Maybe it's about evangelism, talking to more people. Maybe it's teaching. I don't know. The list could go on and on and on and on and on. For you, where is your field of beans? You know, and all of these things, it's so easy for us to say, and it's often what we often say. I know it needs to be done. I just need time. I know this needs to be addressed. I know I need to make a change, but it, you know, a change just takes time. And I'll slowly work on it. I know this needs to be done, but, and it's a beneficial thing, but I'm too scared. I just don't really know where to start. I don't really know. I'm too scared to put myself out there. I know it needs to be done. I know it needs to be changed, but someone else will do it. Someone else will handle it. Someone else will take care of it. Maybe some of those other people in Shammah's story who were turning around and running away from the Philistines thought the same thing. Shammah's here, he'll do it. Shammah didn't think that way. Shammah said, everybody else is running, but today's the, I don't know why, but I'm not running. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to face it. You and I need to do the exact same thing personally each day with whatever it is that's right in front of you as your biggest. There might be 20 things coming in, but I guarantee you one of those is always at the forefront. That might change week to week, but today, this week, what is right there at the front that you need to make your stand with? You know, even, I don't know where you are at personally, so let's just go congregationally. There's a lot of things in the congregation that we've been trying to talk about how to grow. A lot of things that we're recognizing, okay, this is where we really need to focus on this one thing today, this week, this month, then we're going to focus, and we're trying to do that. But I want to encourage you all to be doing that with the mindset that we can all talk about what we want here at Trenton, But the easy thing to do is say, I want that. It would be a good thing. I think it should happen, but so-and-so will do it. So-and-so will start that. So-and-so will take care of that. We can't all think that way. We all got to be thinking, this is what we all want. Here's what we need to be doing. We're ready to stand up and make that happen. How can I help? Thank you, by the way. This is kind of a side note. Thank you to all the teachers thus far who have signed up. We had a pretty long break from we're going to be starting that back in July 4th. Yeah. Thank you to all the teachers who have signed up to teaching our little ones starting in July 4th. It's a big thing. It's a big commitment. To the rest of us, all of us, I want classes for my kids. I think it's a great thing. But if I want it, I have to be willing to help it. We can't all say I want it, but then say, well, yeah, but I don't want to teach. I don't want to help it. Right? We all have different ways we can help, but you understand my point? All of us gotta be ready to help. David's mighty men did not start out that way. God did not plant them right next to David already like, you know, SEAL Team 6. They grew. They understood what it meant to be afraid, and they grew into that role they would play. And what we are here to do at Trenton for one another is the same thing that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 10. I don't know what's in front of you. I don't know what that one thing is in your life. And you don't necessarily know what that one thing is in front of me at the moment. But here's the deal. I'm going to fight what's immediately in front of me, and you're going to fight what's immediately in front of you. And if it starts getting a little bit too much for me, what I need you to do is back off just for a moment and come help me. And if what's in front of you starts getting a little bit too much for you, I'm going to back off what's right in front of me for the moment, and I'm going to come help you. Now, here's the last word, big word. Write it down. It's a lot of letters. Here's what it takes. Communication. That's what we're here for, folks. Joab says, you got to tell me. Sometimes we can see it, but we got to communicate. We're just here to encourage, to pray for, pray with, and build up and encourage. All of us are facing something, and we want to help each other. And if we all have that mindset, we're going to grow, right? So this morning, we're going to sing a song as we always do right now, because the sermon is over. Take a breath. This is an opportunity. If you want us to pray with you, and to pray for you, maybe you're here this morning, you need to make your life right with God, you need to straighten, that's where you need to make a stand, we want to help you. It is between you and your God this morning. We are worshiping your God this morning. But we are here to help encourage and to pray with you and put our arms around you. And that doesn't end in the service. We want to keep doing that this week, this month, however long it takes. And maybe this morning is not the moment you want to discuss that. The spiritual leadership is here 24/7, always ready to be with you, meet with you, pray for you, encourage you, whatever we can do to help. Don't miss out on that opportunity, that blessing from the Lord. Think about this as we sing this song.